Obviously, yeah. His former roommate and former owner of Odie, Lyman, was murdered so that John could take the Odie for himself.
Yeah.
We all know the truth. The truth is out there, folks.
The truth is right here.
Is this on?
It is recording.
Oh,
as well.
No.
Jonah, you have to have a Garfield episode.
We will be talking about that later in the panel. Thank you very much. All right, so welcome everybody to Inks and Issues. This is our second live panel at GeeklyCon, so thank you to the con organizers and everyone for letting us be up here and be weirdos.
And thank you all for coming.
Well, there's that too.
Because otherwise we're just screaming in a room by ourselves.
So my name is Jonah. This is my co-host, Kieran.
Hi, my name's Kieran, and unlike last year, I'm not sweaty, which is great.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
Nice. Now I'm just sweaty from nerves.
And I thought there was something different about you.
Oh, thanks.
Today we have a special guest crossing over into our panel from Drunks and Dragons,
hey,
Mike Bachman.
Hi.
Yes. He's really bringing the heat. Excuse me, I had to take a sip of my Coke. So normally our show, if you aren't familiar, is we pick a comic book and go over like one story kind of book club style, but for live shows, you know, that would be giving people homework. So what we're going to do today is talk about comic book crossovers and some of the ones that we've enjoyed, and then at the end of the panel we will be randomly picking some of your suggestions and coming up with our own ideas for crossovers with those, and then out of the ones we use I will randomly be giving out some amazing crossover comics. Ooh. And I don't say that lightly. These are all ones we picked because they're fun, even if they're incredibly stupid.
I mean, they're all pretty stupid.
Hey,
it's the nature of crossovers, really.
So, how many of you have read a crossover comic of any kind in the past? Quite a few.
Nice.
That's good.
Nice.
So you are familiar with the general format, if there's a superhero involved, is both sides have to be like, hey, what are you doing here? What do you mean, what am I doing here? What are you doing here? And then they fight, and then they find out they're friends and have to get together for the greater good. So I'm going to pass it over to Kieran.
Hello.
Are you ready, or do you need some time to set up for your...
You have slides?
Well, I mean, no, my PowerPoint's
your slides
on,
are on there?
Are on that, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah.
Or they will be on that?
There you go. That's all I had to do.
Okay.
So, oh, okay, cool. Yeah.
It's gonna be,
I mean, what he just did?
You're going to be glad I did.
You're going to love it.
Yeah, you're going to be so glad. I mean, not the people who are listening to this later, because...
No, they're going to hate it.
Yeah.
are you ready for the review?
You ready?
I am. So, okay, so before you push that button, yeah. I would like to talk about one of my favorite crossovers, which I've just recently read, but I feel, for the reasons that I'm about to present, it is one of the greatest crossovers of all time and encapsulates a lot of what makes crossovers fun, namely, and that is one of the fucking stupidest things I've ever read.
Yes.
So I present to you Archie versus Predator.
Yes.
Do you have like a mouse that can click?
Yeah, you
just click.
Do you want to just swap seats?
Yeah.
I was going to say, you can poke me and then I poke him.
Yeah.
I'll poke you anytime.
This is a family show, Kieran.
No, it's not.
It wasn't a family show as soon as we got Kim Stark on.
Well, that's fair.
So Archie versus Predator, why everyone dying makes the best crossover. So, you know, key part of any crossover, the threat has to arrive really quick, and it only takes 8 pages for the Predator to just straight up show up in Costa Rica, where Archie and the gang are obviously on holiday because Jughead ate a packet of chips and won a competition. Like, you know, and this whole setup, it's in like the first page, so, you know, real like full kudos to them. But then it only takes 20 pages for there to be a double murder. These two characters, who I wasn't even aware existed, straight up get murked by the Predator for no reason whatsoever.
Well, you know, the Predator attacks people that they find as a threat, so who was it? Does it say their names?
Oh, it does, like, in the
but
panel.
It's too tiny
to
read.
Yeah, it's like, oh, where are, you know, rich girl and rich boy? There's actually a panel, I can't believe I didn't put it in here, where they're all talking about what they're going to do or, like, what their mood is. The mood of the girl is death to the proletariat. And I was like, what the fuck? So
what's going on at Archie Comics?
It was weird. It was weird. But probably one of my favorite parts of this entire crossover, which, you know, it really kind of ties into the Power Ranger panel, which is on Sunday at 1 o'clock, by the way, is that the Predator race canonically exists in the Archie universe because this, you know, general guy shows up and he's like, listen, y'all, predators are real. And they're coming to kill you. So we all gotta, like, suit up and get old military oorah.
Wait, are there multiple predators?
Huh?
Are there multiple predators?
Yeah, he's like, one of them, the existence of predators. And he talked about, like, the predators as, like, a race of aliens.
So Predators 2 definitely exists.
Yeah. So I mean, that does kind of raise the question, did they ever go and see Predator at the movie theater in the Archie universe?
Is it like zombie comics where they don't know what zombie movies are?
Probably. Actually, and that would also lead me to believe that the Xenomorph is canonical in the Archie universe.
It has to
well.
Be.
Yeah. But that's outside the scope of this.
Yeah.
There's also this cursed panther dagger, which is just like... it's like a little plot detail that kind of shows up. I think it's Betty finds it in an ancient Aztec temple in Costa Rica. And she's like, I'm going to put a panther curse on... Is it Betty? She's the other girl in Archie? I've not read a lot of Archie. Betty and Veronica, yeah. Veronica finds it, puts a panther curse on Betty. Does it ever come up? Does it ever come up again? No.
Of course not.
No, it has nothing to do with the story.
What does the panther curse do?
Nothing. Like, so what they do is they take the dagger to Sabrina. And
the
they're
teenage
like,
witch?
The teenage witch, yeah. And they're like, hey, Sabrina, we got this panther dagger. There was like a curse. And she's like, the panther dagger requires two sacrifices.
That's
the
fair.
Predator then literally bursts in through the window and rips her head off, and she dies.
That's
as,
one.
Yeah, that's one does. And they're like, blah, 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 the panther dagger. And it kind of shows up at the end, but ultimately, like, it doesn't do anything. Because it all gets completely derailed in the last issue by an Archie robot, which Dilton has constructed to fight the Predator.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't fight the Predator, because it kind of goes a little bit haywire. But the fact that it exists in the AV closet is fantastic. And then there's also the presence of Veronica's dad owns a super healing machine that turns Archie into this really buff dude that then fights the Predator at the end. Why does her dad own this machine? How does it function? Where did it come from? Who fucking cares, right? when Dilton gets killed, his skull still has glasses on it, which... that's just perfect. But as to the actual meat of the comic, there are 15 deaths in the space of 4 issues. Like, everybody other than Betty and Veronica die. Like, everybody dies. And then finally at the end, Betty and Veronica have no compunction whatsoever about putting an Archie covering over the now resurrected Predator, and they imply that they're ready to enter into a polyamorous relationship with the Predator, which now has Archie's face. So that leads me to conclude that because of the presence of this healing machine, they revive all of their friends, and now canonically, Archie is in fact the Predator. And, I mean, if that doesn't make for the greatest crossover of all time, I don't know. I don't know what does.
Yeah.
Is this what Riverdale is like? Because I might start
watching. Yeah, yeah.
There are several murders in Riverdale.
Well, by predators, though.
No.
I think it's
yeah, yeah. I mean, like, just, man, look at... I mean, like, this thing holds no punches. Like, Sabrina getting her spine ripped out. Like, that's high art. It is high art.
It is. And that also makes me wonder, does that mean that the predators are immune to magic?
She doesn't really get a chance to cast any magic. Yeah, I think it's kind of implied that she's about to, like, do some crazy, like, whatever. And then I really have to emphasize how, like, the Predator just smashes straight through that window. And
okay.
Then just, bam, straight into the death.
I
and
guess.
I was like,
that's,
damn.
That's fair.
Yeah. Salem the Cat, unfortunately, also dies.
Oh.
No!
Yeah. I don't know if I like this comic anymore.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. All the police die as well.
That's
They're
fine.
Very specific to mention that all of the... Like, one of them actually comes up and he goes, we need to ring the police. And then someone goes... The police are dead.
Yeah.
And they're like, what do you mean?
What's the scope of that? Like,
because it's like they always make jokes about how small Riverdale is. And
sure.
So they're like, oh, we've only got 2 cop cars. Ha ha ha. All the police to being dead is only like 4 people.
So when did they go back to Riverdale?
In the end of the first issue, they're like, wow, we've been in Costa Rica for one day. We've been in Costa Rica on a 2-week vacation for one day, and we missed Riverdale too much. So now we got to go.
Now we got to go back.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. That also means that the Predator can fight the Punisher, because he also shows up at Riverdale.
He does. So that was my crossover. Mike or Jonah, would you?
I don't have a PowerPoint, because, I mean, I only work on computers all day, but I did want to... I brought along one of my favorite crossovers, which is Star Trek on the Planet of the Apes, because... Planet of the Apes is... who here has seen the original movie from back in the day? I made him watch it. Okay, so this is a crossover of the original series, Captain Kirk, and the original movie, Planet of the Apes. And the reason why that works so well is because we all know Star Trek is like the everything's going to be better in the future, and man is like aspirational to go out to the stars, and while Planet of the Apes is like mankind is going to blow itself up and apes are going to evolve and take over the planet because humans are too stupid to not blow themselves up, and it's very nihilistic. So,
but like, where's the lie though?
Yeah, exactly. So put those hands together and you get one of my favorite pieces of cover art that's ever been made. Damn them all, they blew it up, says Captain Kirk at the Statue of Liberty. So this comic is basically about a rift in space where Klingons have gone through and are arming the apes side of things to help them wipe out the humans once and for all. And Charlton Heston's character that is still on the Planet of the Apes, this takes place like right around when the movie ends. He's very upset because all the humans are dead and the ones that are alive are mute and the apes are trying to murder them all. And he finds out about the Star Trek dudes that are like trying to follow the Prime Directive and failing, like they do. And he's like, hey, classic. I'm just going to go on your ship and take it over and use these cool lasers to shoot down at the planet and kill all the apes. So him and Kirk have to have a whole heart-to-heart and figure out why that's probably wrong.
Can I do a small amount of genocide from your ship? Is that okay?
It's probably not the best idea, is all I'm saying.
Well, by interfering with him committing genocide, is that, you know, violating the Prime Directive?
Exactly, yeah.
Yes.
Because, I mean, if a native species wants to commit genocide...
Who are you to...
This is getting uncomfortable.
You know, Spock tries to use logic on both sides, which that's not going to go anywhere, obviously. And then the best part is, and I know mine's a little bit shorter than yours, but has anyone seen Star Trek IV, where they go back in time by slingshotting around the sun? And has anyone seen the Planet of the Apes sequels, where they go back in time? Because they use Scotty's slingshotting around the sun technique to go back in time. And that is how this amazing book ends. So this is one that people can win if they've given us suggestions, because I couldn't not offer up one of my favorites. But yeah, the juxtaposition of the nihilism of Planet of the Apes and the optimism of Star Trek work better together than they deserve to. It is, as all crossovers are, kind of dumb, but probably, I think, one of the best written crossovers I've read. So that is my favorite crossover.
I think really that last sentence that you had really sums up crossovers, which is better together than it deserves to.
Yes.
Which is all crossovers.
Yes. There's other ones I could name. While you're setting up, I got to find my favorite panel in this one.
Is the one that we talked about when we reviewed it?
Yes.
Because, I mean, that's...
Here is the Batman Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle crossover, where the Batman villains have all been mutated into TMNT style animal people villains, and they're having a huge rumble. And the art in this book, by the way, is amazing.
Hey, so I know Jonas said he's the only one who didn't have a PowerPoint, but you can't really call what I've done a PowerPoint. So
you have a slide.
Yeah, no, there's multiple there, but they're just, I just put YouTube videos on that slide, so it's not really, you know, when they invited me to come on Inks and Issues to talk about comic book crossovers, I was like, sure, let's talk about Cartoon All-Stars to the Rescue.
Hey.
It's the only one I'm aware of that has both Bugs Bunny and Alf, so.
Yeah, absolutely. If you're not aware of Cartoon All-Stars to the Rescue, it was done by Ronald McDonald House. It was is an anti-drug PSA.
Can I just say that I was so excited for this when it came out, because I was a kid, that I taped it off TV and watched it over and over, because I'm like, well, the Ninja Turtles are in this. Alvin and the Chipmunks.
A Ninja Turtle is in this.
One.
Yeah.
Alvin and the Chipmunks are in it. And Garfield. I mean, come on.
It
How
it
could
seems
you go wrong?
Like it couldn't be bad, but it is.
There you go. What?
Yeah. Oh yeah, that's what I was. That's why you delay the code.
It needs good. The Batman.
So it actually opened with a not with this, but with a PSA from Nancy and Ronald Reagan. Maybe, theoretically. I promise you, it does.
Okay. We really like to tease it around here.
Abandon the PowerPoint. We're going straight to YouTube. You're up here.
The live action portion.
Yeah.
Oh, so they don't even animate Nancy Reagan?
No.
What's the point of that then?
Those guys don't need to see all the thumbnails. You might see something in my history that I don't want you to see. Well, you gotta play too.
You gotta get rid of that notification.
I didn't think that through.
In case this isn't being picked up by the recorder, Nancy and Ronald Reagan are just talking about cartoons at the moment. It's probably the crossover we deserve.
Okay, so that's enough of that.
Hey, Logan, can you add this in post-production?
Yeah. You're old enough to know better.
No, if I'm being completely honest with you, I kind of skipped that part, and I was just like, I saw like 2 seconds, and I was like, yeah, it's Reagan. It's fine.
Oh, was that not Reagan?
It was absolutely not Reagan.
No. Oh, see, it's fine for me to not know that.
Yeah,
because
no.
A, I wasn't alive, and B, this is not my country.
I mean, really, if you've listened to Drunks and Dragons, it's not the worst thing I haven't known.
That's true. That's very true.
So basically, the whole deal with this is it's this kid. He goes into his sister's room, steals his piggy bank, and unfortunately, the crime is witnessed.
Yeah.
It's witnessed by...
That's where he first went wrong.
Is it Winnie the Pooh that sees it, or is it Alf?
Oh!
No, actually, I take that back. It was Papa Smurf witnesses the crime.
Does Papa Smurf see all crime?
Well, he was in the room for this one.
He's just in the kid's little sister's room.
Yeah. Okay.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
Nothing problematic.
Hey, Papa Smurf, where were you? Oh, it's just in a small child's room.
It's comic book.
See, it is a comic book crossover.
Yes.
There's a comic book in it.
It's magic. Piggy bank. Who could this shadowy figure be?
This is what passed for entertainment when I was a kid.
This was, I mean, honestly, if you were a kid during this time, this was the coolest fucking thing. You were like, oh, there's all these cartoons that I'm watching anyway, crossing over. And then you start watching it, and you realize that it's actually a bullshit anti-drug PSA.
Yeah.
And you're like, well,
can I just say that Papa Smurf just woke up, and the first thing he noticed was a missing piggy bank? He's like, is that all he's ever looking for? Because that means he was planning a heist.
Yeah.
And they got to it first.
Yeah, what they cut out was him gathering the rest of the search and being like, some punk-ass motherfucker stole that piggy bank before we did.
And my laptop died.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
So these chargers work pretty good.
Yeah, they're pretty good.
So Garfield is a Garfield phone who comes to life and doesn't want to help, but Alf threatens...
He's a lamp.
Was he a lamp?
Yeah,
I thought
he was
the Garfield phone. Okay, it's been a while.
Everyone knows that Garfield is a lamp.
Okay, correction. I stand corrected. But he doesn't want to help because he's lazy, because he's Garfield. So Alf threatens to eat him because, as we all know, Alf eats cats.
What?
So he's like, hey, listen up. You're going to help us, or I'm going to murder you right here in this child's bedroom.
The little girl comes back. She's like, wow, it really smells like cat blood. Also, I don't have any money. What the hell?
Yeah, so the main antagonist, as you may have realized, is not actually the drugs, but this kind of ethereal being named Smoke, who's like, maybe his...
I'm going to draw him from memory. You keep talking.
Yes, draw him from memory. Maybe it's like, not his conscience, but like, he's like, you know, hey, kids, you know, try this weed. And
smoke a drug.
You know, so the kid, he does weed, and then he, of course, needs money for more weed, as one does. And he's in the park. He's stolen all this money from his sister. And
how old is this kid?
He's
like 10.
No, no. No. he's a tween for sure.
Oh, okay.
He's probably right. I would date him at 14 or 15 actually.
All right. All right.
So
would you date him older than that?
Maybe. Depends on So yeah, he's in the park and Smoke steals his wallet, gives it to one of his friends because his friend wants to use the money that's in his wallet to buy crack. So he's chasing the friend, falls into the sewers, and who's there but Michelangelo from the Ninja Turtles, who's like, hey dude, drugs aren't cool, and he pulls the drain on the sewer, and the kid falls through the sewer drain into a roller coaster that goes through the human brain with Gonzo and Miss Piggy, I believe.
Muppet Babies versions,
yeah,
yes.
Muppet Babies, the babies versions, yeah, yeah. Definitely not adult Gonzo and Miss Piggy. Possibly
that would be weird.
Too.
Yeah, that would just be too fun.
They go through and they find out, like, you know, all the things that's going to happen to your body if you do marijuana pills, and
if you just inject those marijuana straight into your eyeballs,
and so they go through that. Then they end up in the park where Alf and Garfield and Winnie the Pooh and Michelangelo's back, and they all go into a musical number about all the numbers of ways you can say no to drugs. Cut to later. Michael's in an alley, and he's about to buy more weed pills, and a cop comes into the alley.
So this is approximately what I remember that guy. He's saying, do a drug, and the dare is for squares.
It is.
That's pretty close. who is that cop? But Bugs Bunny. And he's brought with him a time machine to take Michael to the past, to the moment when he decided to do drugs, which is apparently in the 50s, because everything's in black and white, and kids are like greasers sitting out behind
the school. Like, have the hula hoop with a stick that they're running down the street playing with.
And then, oh shit, what happens?
He decides not to do a drug.
Yeah, I'm assuming he decides not to do drugs.
No, there's more to it than that. He does decide to do a drug, obviously. And then he assaults his sister.
Oh,
and
man.
That's what I think. He, like, you know, he, like, grabs her arm. She's like, you're hurting me. And I just want to know what's going on with you, Michael. And,
So if he's 10, she's, what, like, 4?
Yeah. Yeah.
So she's a 4-year-old with enough money to buy crack.
Yeah.
Because that's concerning.
And all in coins.
Yeah, all in coins. Yeah.
Here's this bag of coins. How many cracks can I get for
this?
That
said, it was the 50s, so, like, you know, bag of crack, that's what, like a nickel?
Yeah. Back in my day.
Well, Alf decides he has one more lesson to teach Michael. Takes him to the Hall of Mirrors, where he'll see what he looks like in the future if he keeps doing drugs. And he's like, oh, I could stop anytime I want to. And he's like, well, let me take you to the man in charge. The man in charge is Smoke. And Smoke's like, I got you for life, kid.
I got you for life, kid. And you're mine.
Yeah, and then, like, Daffy Duck shows him his future. And, like,
it's basically, okay, it's a Christmas Carol with drugs, okay? We get it.
Oh, yeah. Right. So they do, like, the crack of Christmas past.
Sure.
And the crack of Christmas future.
And this is your favorite crossover.
It's, you know, it's,
I mean, what does it say about it?
The reason that it's my favorite crossover is because, like, you know, it's so much time spent on crossovers that make sense. You know, like, the ones that don't fully embody, like, what a crossover should be. Just, like, stupid, it shouldn't happen.
Yeah.
But it did, and now we all have to deal with it.
Yeah.
So, is it like a punishment for, like, mankind's sins?
It felt like a punishment when I watched it the first time.
Fair. All right.
So I was like, I didn't flood the world good enough. Now I've got to give you this. Alf threatening to eat Garfield.
Are we ready to combine some things?
Yeah, hell yeah.
So, first up, our first crossover is Neon Genesis Evangelion meets Fables. So
okay.
So, how would this go down?
Like the concept of Fables?
No, the comic book Fables.
The comic book Fables. Yeah.
Are you familiar?
Yeah. I am not.
So
go
Fables.
Ahead.
Oh, I think we should get Mike to go first.
So, Fables is about characters from fables living in the real world.
Yeah.
It's dark and gritty. You know, my personal favorite.
And we're combining, what was the first one?
Neon Genesis Evangelion.
Yeah.
I also haven't seen that.
Sure you have. It has giant robots in it.
Yeah. I've seen giant robots.
It's an anime.
So I think that the one that's closest to the real world is the host world, I feel, usually.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So the giant robots would have to come to the host world.
Okay, so Fables is the more realistic one.
Yeah, you just
them
said they
Evangelion.
Live in the real world.
Okay, fair.
Fair. Yeah.
So
technicality.
Okay,
sure.
So if they're crossing over into Fables, mm-hmm. then aren't their Evas immediately useless because they have a 5-minute power on them?
I mean, sure. I haven't actually seen Evangelion either.
Okay. I guess that's it.
But I have read all of Fables, so...
So that's why I need your help.
Yeah, well, so what I'm thinking is that it's going to start really good. Uh-huh. No, it's going to start really bad.
Get a little better.
Going to get really good, and then it's going to end really terribly.
Okay.
Well, it sounds like it'll be good for 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Just enough time for the robots to really, like, do their stuff, and then it finishes.
So if they met up and the Evangelion pilots were in their Evas already... and they're fighting any of the Fables, they're just going to step on them at that point, right? Are there giant Fables in Fables?
Yeah. Well, I mean, Bigby can get real massive, because he's a giant wolf.
Yeah, but, like, these are several stories tall.
I do apologize for not knowing the intricate details of Evangelion.
Now, what's the difference between a Fable and, like a nursery rhyme, like...
Oh, they're all in the same universe.
Okay. So, like Jack and the Beanstalk, like
in
so
the same universe.
So you've got the giant.
Yeah, they're all there.
You've got tons of giants.
Yeah. Okay, so I mean, if we're talking about the practicalities of it, sure. because obviously this is going to happen.
Yeah, obviously.
Then I'm thinking like
these are our pitches, by the way, to Marvel.
Yeah, I've actually Logan's got my phone, but DC and Marvel, they're actually on speaker at the moment. Yeah. So, so what I'm thinking is that like Evangelion is canon in the world of Fables because. As we all know, everybody loves Evangelion, right?
I mean, I do.
Yeah? So everybody loves Evangelion.
Yeah.
So everyone believes in Evangelion enough. So now, in the world of Fables, Evangelion has been made flesh.
Oh, okay, so here's my problem. If this is true, this is my one problem.
The one problem, yeah.
Is that weebs exist.
I mean, yeah, that's a big problem.
And that means all anime is real. So,
yeah.
How does an anime character look specifically from Evangelion when they come to the real world?
See,
they look exactly the same.
Evangelion, so they look characters.
Two-dimensional? Well...
I mean, they look three-dimensional, but they also look anime.
But Evangelion characters do not look like Dragon Ball anime. They actually look the slightly...
But they still have, like, large eyes.
Well, sure, very
so,
large.
So, like, what I want to know is, like, it hasn't been tested, so what are the medical implications of having eyes that large? And are they going to dry out faster? Are they going to have to blink more often? Is that going to affect their ability to pilot?
Well, see, that's why they have such thin bodies, because there's no moisture in them, because it's constantly pumping to their eyeballs. that's also why they have such tiny pupils, because their irises are constantly restricted mm-hmm. to stop them from going blind.
So if they have to battle the giant from Jack and the Beanstalk, mm-hmm. that, I mean, canonically, we all know from seeing Evangelion that Unit 1 is going to flip out at some point and rip his limbs off and then eat him.
I mean, that kind of goes in line with like the overall vibe of certain patches of Fables.
Sure. So I'm going to say in this instance, there's no point at which they can be friends, is there?
No.
I mean, everyone's going to die. If Evangelion isn't
there,
it is literally the end of the world.
We're going full Archie versus Predator.
Okay.
Everybody is going to die.
I mean, they're coming from a universe where they literally eat most of the things that are now sentient in this universe, so that's going to be a hard transition to make.
All right, so what we're saying here is it's a solid concept.
It is very good.
All right, okay. Let's go. It's
all right, number two. Let me find my two. I put little numbers on them. Okay, so number two is Lost in Space.
Yes. Haven't seen that.
Meets Bleach.
All right. Okay.
Do you know Bleach?
I
don't know Bleach.
The show or the substance?
The show.
Technically, the manga.
Okay, the manga.
Yeah, the manga. Yeah. So I've read I think about half of the manga.
Then you're gonna have to take this one.
Okay. All right. So what I'm thinking is Lost in Space, Bleach. So Lost in Space, they're flying through space, right?
It's a family,
and it's
a creepy guy and a robot.
Yeah. Isn't the robot hot? Like in the new one?
No.
I mean, that's what I hear.
No.
Eh?
Wait, is the robot hot, you said?
He's the hot, but I looked at him and I was like, I don't see it.
Okay, alright. I'm gonna say in my version the robot's hot.
Okay.
So they're flying through space, they're lost, and then they come across a planet
mm-hmm.
upon which the bleach is happening.
So okay. in this
that sounds like the Purge.
So like, I mean, this is just what I'm thinking that mm-hmm. like, you know, like in this universe, anime and manga exist on planets, not in separate dimensions. So they like run into them.
Which Lost in Space are we talking? Is it the new one? Or are we
talking
about
no
like
idea.
The 90s movie?
I haven't seen any of them.
I was thinking old when I put it.
Okay. So Billy Moomy and a robot.
So
that
the
says Danger
robot's
Will
even
Robinson.
Hotter. Is what you're talking about.
The robot's thick.
Danger Will Robinson.
So you're saying they get lost on Bleach World.
Yeah, they get lost on the Bleach World. And then what I'm... Okay, so... But then they have to fight. But the unfortunate part is that everyone in Bleach has, like, swords and stuff. And, like, magic powers. Everyone in Lost in Space is a suburban family in space.
Yeah.
So... We're going full Archie versus Predator again, and all die. But
bad news.
But the robot, the robot from Lost in Space, the hot robot from Lost in Space, he lives.
Okay.
He lives, and he becomes a Soul Reaper in Bleach.
Well, I don't know what that is, but that sounds cool.
That's the thing in Bleach, yeah. And so then we get our split off, which is, I mean, if I was really funny, I would come up with a really good name, like, right now, but I'm not. So, just imagine the robot from Lost in Space with, like, a mask and a sword, and, I mean, what else do you need?
I mean, I love it.
Yeah.
I'm on board. I if I was the one buying it, not Marvel or DC, I would buy it. That's how good it is.
Well, make an offer.
Yeah, I mean, I could always use more cash.
Yeah, that's true. All right. So, next we have Calvin and Hobbes. And this almost seems too plausible meets My Little Pony. And that just sounds adorable. I mean,
yeah.
Are they going to fight? I don't
So I've got an idea for this.
Go ahead.
Calvin and Hobbes, you know, Calvin is very, is able to, like, you know, his superpower, if you will, is to be able to, like, very fluidly transition between the world of imagination and the real world.
Yeah.
He is imagining that he's in the land. He's in Equestria.
Yeah.
You know?
Now is
Calvin a brony?
No, he's well. It depends on what he's there for. Maybe he's there to steal an artifact of extreme power to bring to one of the other worlds. He's a fan of crossovers himself. He comes out of the imagination world, and to his surprise, the ponies are still there.
Oh no!
Wait,
now is he still a pony?
Or
did he never become one?
He didn't, but Hobbes did.
Oh,
yeah. I was going to say, if he didn't, Hobbes 100% has
absolutely.
And Hobbes's cutie marks, I'm guessing, is just the stripes. Just say yes.
Yes.
Just go with it. Just roll.
I had to, like, do, like, I was getting there, but I had to figure out what a cutie mark was at first. And I was like, yes.
Yeah. That's why. And I'm guessing Calvin's, if he had become a pony, would be, like, his spaceship.
It would be the off-brand decal of Calvin peeing.
Oh my god! Yeah, I've heard it's Calvin peeing all the way down. yeah, I think this one is actually a little too wholesome, and I would actually buy that for my kids. I mean, it sounds great.
And not my version.
Not your version.
No.
It's too much piss. All right.
Here, kids, I got you a comic. It's full of piss.
So, another one I'm not as familiar with, Bob's Burgers.
Okay.
Yeah.
Enough.
And they're going to cross over with Mega Man.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, I can see that. I can see that.
Okay.
Yeah, so here's what I'm imagining. Now, we all know Scooby-Doo and Supernatural. They did an episode.
Sure.
Have not seen it. Don't tell me about it.
On the TV show or on Scooby-Doo?
On the TV show.
Like, on Supernatural?
Yeah.
Does the dog talk?
No, it's animated.
Yeah.
Oh, boo.
So the dog does talk.
Yeah. Oh, no.
I was hoping, like, a CG dog on. I was like, I've never watched that show, but I would.
No. Oh, yeah. So what I'm imagining is that the family buys an arcade cabinet for the restaurant to kind of, like, bring people in.
A Mega Man the Power Battles. Yeah.
Obviously, yes. Okay. It's a Mega Man cabinet, but they spill something on the cabinet.
Oh,
it haywires.
You have to.
And they are all. Well, I mean, obviously. And then they all get sucked into the Mega Man world.
Yeah.
And then they're having a grand old time. This is the extent of my Mega Man knowledge.
Okay.
I don't know anything else about
so
Mega Man.
So does Bob become Burger Man?
Obviously.
So he shoots burgers.
Yeah, so he becomes Burger Man. Linda the wife?
Yeah.
She can become, like, you know, napkin lady? I don't know.
Alternatively, they spill something on the cabinet. They come in the next morning to open up the restaurant. All the Mega Man robots are in the restaurant.
Oh, no.
Like, oh.
Bobby, why is it robots in the restaurant?
They're not even ordering burgers.
They're ordering burgers, and this is Bob's Burgers, where we have burgers. I've seen a lot of that show.
Yeah. And by the end of the episode, you know, Mega Man has to have teamed up with them.
Mm-hmm.
Bob and the kids now have, like, Mega Busters and are firing hamburgers and fries and milkshakes
like
out
it.
Of them and taking the powers from the other robots. And then the restaurant has to get destroyed because they need the grand reopening at the end of the episode.
It's kind of like that Street Fighter Mega Man crossover.
It's
like
a very good game.
Yeah. Is that the one where Mega Man gets the Infinity Buster from Doctor Strange so that you can
that
kill
That is
Thanos?
Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite.
Oh, sorry. That's another crossover, which is very good.
All right. So we got time for one more?
Yeah, we got time for one more.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what do we got left here? We have Spider-Man, so already pretty plausible, crossing over with Sonic the Hedgehog.
Oh, perfect.
Now that, again, could easily happen. I mean, Archie Comics and Marvel have obviously teamed up for the Predator. So
actually, fun fact, Archie has done a crossover with Sonic.
Oh, I know.
A direct crossover? Because I know about Sabrina.
I believe it was a direct crossover. I didn't really look into it because, like...
Archie Comics also was doing Mega Man, so he's also... Sonic and Mega Man have definitely...
For sure. I need to look into Archie.
Okay, so my bigger question here, because obviously Spider-Man is going to be like, I grew up playing the Genesis, you're my favorite character! And Sonic will be like, chili dogs, let's run fast! So
I'm pregnant with Shrek's baby.
Yeah. And it's Tails. So my question is, who does Dr. Robotnik, because Eggman is a terrible name and I refuse to use it, who does Dr. Robotnik team up with? And I'm thinking Dr. Octopus.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Because robots, animals, put those two hands together. Yeah. And then he finds out there's like a scorpion guy and an electric guy, and he's basically in Hog's Heaven over here.
Yeah.
So he combines his technology, steals a bunch of pigeons, because they're in New York, and makes a bunch of killer robots that Sonic and Spider-Man have to team up with, and you know...
steals a bunch of pigeons.
I mean, play a Sonic game.
Quickly, Dr. Robotnik's got a fucking pigeon store.
You gotta go with whatever animals, because, like, you know, you do the animals in Mobius, like, for Sonic, and then you gotta go with whatever animals you can find in the city, so you got a bunch of rats, people's dogs, and pigeons.
Yeah.
For sure.
And squirrels.
And squirrels, absolutely.
In New York? I mean, I've never been.
Maybe they go to the zoo. Maybe they go to the
zoo. Any New Yorkers here? Are there lots of squirrels running around? Tons of squirrels.
Tons of squirrels?
Okay, there we go. Yeah.
Would they make good robots?
Yeah, and especially the black ones because they're very human-friendly.
Oh.
Oh, okay, right.
So they're going to trick people into getting like, oh, I'm just a friendly little robo-squirrel, and then how they get you.
What I'm thinking, the black squirrels, because I don't know if that was picked up that. So there's black squirrels, and they're very human-friendly. The black squirrels are ninjas because... Mm-hmm. They're not robots. They're members of the Foot Clan.
Oh my god.
Third issue of this, bam. Not Power Rangers.
Not yet.
Well, I mean, that'll come later. Sonic, Spider-Man, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, all together at last.
Man. Although, the problem with, like, at the end of every Sonic level, you know, he jumps on the capsule and he releases all the woodland creatures.
Uh-huh.
But suppose, you know, it's all rats, and you can release a whole bunch of invasive species.
A rat king comes out?
Yeah.
Oh,
God.
Oh, this sounds bad, but I do want to see Sonic in the Spider-Man costume, so that's... Oh, you know what's going to happen? I know, I just figured it out.
Mm-hmm.
Venom's gonna show up, he's gonna fight Sonic, Sonic's gonna create a Sonic boom, which is gonna make the symbiont come off, and he's gonna become Venom Sonic, and that's how they're gonna win.
Sonic
and
is very good.
I think I just solved it.
Because Venom Sonic is Shadow the Hedgehog.
That
like one of those like late reveals where they're like Shadow was actually Sonic from the future the whole time.
Yeah, but with the Venom symbiote.
Yeah, I'm into it.
Yeah.
Wow. I would read that comic. I'm not gonna lie.
You probably can.
I mean, fanfiction.net.
Just go to DeviantArt.
How are we doing on time?
We got time to do our last one. Our last bit.
What's our last bit?
You know,
one of these.
No, our announcement, because we want to talk
about
that.
Oh, that's true. We do have an announcement. We have a cool announcement, guys.
Yeah. So, that's basically the end of the panel.
Yeah.
Like,
thank you, everybody, for coming and participating, and that was a lot of fun. So, Kieran.
Yeah.
He's been on his computer and making something for us, and it's a Patreon. So, we wanted to be able to, like, cover a cost of the show a little bit, but give some stuff back. So.
Because comics aren't free.
On Free Comic Book Day they are, but I mean, only certain ones. Yeah. And remember, the stores have to pay for those, so buy stuff if you go to Free Comic Book Day.
Yeah, if you go to Free Comic Book Day, buy stuff.
Now, is your computer charged enough to put it on the screen?
It can't get on the internet, so...
Get you on the internet.
Are you charged?
I can tether you here.
Okay, yeah, sure. I'll try that.
Excellent. Because then we can actually show people... So, patreon.com/inksandissues will be us. I know there's lots of Patreons out there. But are they about comic books? Probably not. Give us 1 second here.
Ask me that.
This?
Yeah, that.
Okay.
Thanks.
It's just Mike's iPhone X, and it's got the
okay.
Right there.
Okay, so wait. What is it, Mike's iPhone? There are so many Wi-Fi networks in here.
Everyone's using their phones. It's the cool thing to do.
Yeah. Yeah, so I mean, like, we don't really talk about this much on the show, but we pay for all of our comics while we're doing it. So we really want to, like, have a way to kind of cover our hosting costs and, you know, do all that bullshit. But we also have, like, a bunch of other plans that we want to do as well when we reach certain goals or, like, stuff that you'll get from, like, certain levels and blah, blah, blah. I should probably plug this projector in.
That would be a step in the right direction.
Yes.
Uh-oh.
You broke it.
Oh, my God.
Is it that side?
Yeah, it is.
Oh, yeah, I see your HD.
Is it this right here?
Yeah, it is.
You just not enough cord?
I know where it is.
Okay.
Just oh, my God. Okay. Shut up, Dad.
You've been drinking enough water. Did you get enough sleep?
I didn't change my underwear.
Oh, God. And the panel is over.
If I just go to patreon.com.
And then we're going to see all the furry porn artists that you...
Shut up!
And that's fine. I mean, they need to make a living. I'm not faulting you for it.
Yeah, so actually, no. You know what? I want to show them, like, the... There you go.
Finish page.
Because I didn't launch it.
So we're going to launch it right now.
Yeah, we're going to launch it.
Live launch.
Man, it'd be really funny if it didn't actually work.
Let's try it. 3, 2, 1. Something. Oh, hey. Oh. All right.
Welcome. Yay!
I think we're an official podcast now because they have to have a Patreon.
So this is out. Get the fuck out of the way. Jesus.
I'm sorry. God.
Not you. Okay, yeah. So, where are... Okay, so... You can do, like, $2, $10, $5, $10, $20, like, we got all the way up to $10,000 a month, but if your name is not Jim Davis and you're not the sole creator of Garfield, fucking don't even touch it, right? yeah, so we've got, like, bonus content from, like, before and after our episodes, like, bloopers, and when we get up to, like, certain goals, which you'll see here, so we, like, cover the show... And then we'll start streaming when we get to 100. And then we'll start reviewing some superhero films once a month. And then when we... Okay, this is our big goal.
This is the big one.
Yeah, we will review Garfield.
Every Garfield.
Every single Garfield. In a monthly podcast called Garfcast. And we will review Garfield probably until the day we die.
Yes.
Because they're still making it.
Yeah.
So if you want us to die with Garfield burned into the back of our brain,
please donate.
Please donate. yeah, and so, you know, we got like a lot, like, you know, Jonah will write some
stories. So I have a thing that I want to do, but because it's so time intensive, it's got to be kind of worth my time. So what I'm going to do is, if we hit this $500 goal, I will be live streaming me creating a choose your own adventure on the fly with people, with audience participation.
Yeah.
And if you aren't familiar, I used to write for Sayer, so if you want to see what my style's like, check out those episodes.
Hmm.
you say like you've never heard that before.
Oh, yes.
Is that a podcast?
Is that a podcast? yeah, so I mean, please go give us some money.
I mean,
oh my awesome. God, please. That'd be really, so, I have, be really great.
I'm going to end on us giving you something, though. And I'm going to randomly pick numbers from everyone who gave us suggestions, not just the ones that made it into the episode. And you can come up and pick, and we'll just, first person gets first choice. So, who suggested Scott Pilgrim versus the World? Come on up and pick a comic.
Why does your phone say list of my favorite people?
you're not supposed to look at that. So I got four here to give away. So go ahead and take one. Oh. And next up is who suggested Zelda?
Yeah.
Come on up. First choice was the Power Rangers JLA, which we did have an episode
on. We have
an
episode on that, so go listen to that.
And good choice. And then we got Bob's Burgers. Come on up. And last but not least, Mega Man. Wow, good job, number generator. Two in a row. All right. And if anyone wants this drawing, number 16 gets first dibs. And Where is number 16? Sonic the Hedgehog. So, I mean, it's all yours.
Sign it.
I will sign it. So, thank you, everybody. You can check out our site. If you go to inksandissues.com, it'll take you to the podcast, and we review comics most of the time.
Yeah. should we say, like, where people can find us on the internet?
I guess. Go ahead.
I'm Kieran. You can find me on the internet. I'm at MrK_Bennett. You can also check out my D&D podcast, which is, for Kids Like Giggles, at For C&G Podcast.
Oh, I'm on the internet as Spambot on Twitter, and I host Inks and Issues, and occasionally Brittany and I do a podcast called Respectfully Yours, a podcast, which we're going to be bringing back post-GeeklyCon when we hopefully have some more time.
Nice.
And Mike?
I'm at the Mike Bachman. You can find me on Drunks and Dragons a couple of times, hanging out with these guys every now and then, and in my house.
Yeah, and Sunday.
Yeah. Okay, shit, Sunday. It is at 1 o'clock?
Yeah, it's 1 o'clock, yeah.
I scheduled this thing and I'm just like,
eh. Yeah, yeah.
It's sometime.
If my incompetence isn't, like grossly obvious to everybody. I actually approached Kieran, I think even in the same conversation where you approached me about coming onto this panel,
yeah.
I also was about to approach you about coming on my panel, which is also about crossovers, but specifically it has to do with the with Power Rangers, and how it's connected to basically everything. No God Should Allow, what you'll find out there.
Yeah.
I would definitely recommend stopping by and then...
So the best way I've been able to describe it is think 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon except Power Rangers.
Yeah.
And with more degrees.
Yeah, way more degrees and slides. So, all right. Thank you, guys. Thanks.
To the place where wild nerds roam with pretty girls.